One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Chicago, Illinois. I'll be there Saturday, October 12th at the Den Theater. Detroit, Michigan. I'll be there Friday, November 8th at the Magic Bag. Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'll be there Saturday, November 9th at the Parkway Theater. Madison, Wisconsin. I'll be there Friday and Saturday, November 15th and 16th at Comedy on State. And Portland, Oregon. I'll be at the Aladdin Theater Saturday, November 23rd. Get your tickets to those shows and all shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
Welcome back to the Way Back, everybody. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all your social media, ryansickler.com. Ladies and gentlemen, very excited to have this guest here in the Way Back with me today. Please welcome Todd Glass.
Hello.
Great to see you back here.
How you doing? Glass.
Before we get into some stuff, and I'm not taking a dig at you in any way, you're older than me, and I say that because you actually have sat in a seat that's slightly different than this one. But before we get into it, please promote whatever you'd
Thank
like
you.
To promote.
By the way, my neck, you know, one of the neck kink when you get it? I have it. So if you can tell when I do this, I might just stare straight the whole time. Go over to toddglass.com. And I have a crowdsource for a show I'm doing. And this will be the quickest way I can say it. Go to YouTube and you'll see something that says Todd Glass, the event of a lifetime. It's 4 minutes. When you're done watching it, you go, holy shit, I get this show. And then after that, at the end of the video, it tells you what to do. And that's a short version.
I love it.
Yeah.
I bring up your age because you're old enough to have sat in this back seat, actually. And you said, man, we sat one where they faced each other in the back.
Yeah, I love this car so much. We had, and I wanted my parents to get it. I remember going to the Ford dealership, and I was in fourth or fifth grade, mm-hmm. and it was called Champagne. That was the color of the car. I wanted navy blue, and I was right. You know what I mean? Same thing with the Wagoneers, yeah. Navy blue. There's other cool colors, yeah. But that navy blue, that thick painted navy blue Wagoneer, but they got Champagne. I'm like, oh, in my head, I'm like, okay.
What was it? What year car was it?
It was 19. I was in fifth grade then, but we got that one. We had the first one. It was okay. But the second one, the reason I wanted that one so bad, because the lights went up and down.
Yeah.
It was in 1977, I think. Yeah, that's one right there. See the black one? And there was also one where it didn't have hubcaps. It had the mag, and I wanted the mag so bad. I was right. As an adult now, yeah, you would agree. Hubcaps. My parents didn't get the mags. I was so mad.
Dude, I remember we had hubcaps. We had a Datsun B210. This was a wagon version of the Datsun. Mm-hmm. Datsun brown. We called it the brown bomber. Datsun B210 wagon.
You know, there was a place on Melrose once, and I came home and I told my friend, I go, yeah, there's a place in Melrose. They're not antique cars, like, you know, because you think antiques, Mustangs and all those, like, you know, that was antiques. I go, they're not antiques, but they're from the, they go, Todd, they're antiques. I go, oh, that's right. There's new antiques now.
So it's like this thing here, you know, and it had hubcaps, and we went to Security Mall in Baltimore, and when we came out, they all of them were gone except for one, and it was like folded in half. Like they fucked it
up.
They
couldn't get it off.
And I remember my dad, I only heard my dad say fuck like two times in my life. And that was one of them when he just said out loud to himself, I hope they broke their fucking fingers on this one. We were like, oh, dad.
I didn't like when a hubcap fell off the car. I'd get it before my parents got it. Yeah, I would go buy it. Like yeah. When I was like 16, I was already working at the Dairy Queen, so I had some money, and I would go like, oh, wow. Now, picture that. That's, wow, that's a clean one.
That is clean.
See the difference? The other one was all right, but that one you can imagine. Now, the mags, I wish you could,
And are you saying the back seats in that particular one faced each other?
Yeah, they faced each other. And we wanted to sit back there so bad.
Yeah.
I really like that. Is that car for sale?
I know. I want to get that car and actually do this in the car. Like Seinfeld's comedians.
Oh, that would be great.
Drive around, just sit there and talk to you in the car.
And you know what else I really wanted was the Wagoneers, which now the Wagoneers, they look like they were from the 60s.
There it is. There's your
back seat. There you go. Look at that. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, God.
Man, look at all that room. You can put 14 kids. There's two seatbelts back there. There's two seatbelts.
Let me tell you something. We never saw any seatbelts.
I remember too, hubcaps are a big thing. We were in high school. My buddy had a Nissan Sentra. It was probably an 87, 88 Nissan Sentra. Ooh. And he buys these aftermarket hubcaps at Pep Boys. And you're just supposed to tap them, you know, with a little rubber mallet on there or whatever. Yeah, exactly this card. He was trying to put like fancy hubs on it.
Trying to make it look good.
Yeah.
It's cute in hindsight.
And he drives over the bridge, the Liberty Reservoir. It just there's a little dip there, and he just hits the dip. All four fucking hubcaps come off at the same time. They all go over the bridge, and we are laughing so hard. Like, he just lost them all, dude.
Real quick, this was like when I was – there was another car that people had, and that was the Wagoneer, which, by the way, they made the Wagoneer. It looked like it was from the 68 until 91. So it looked like it was from 68 because they didn't change the body style. You can get these cars. You can get them for 25 that look amazing. You can get them 60, they look amazing. But there's a company that guts them. They gut it. Like, they put a new Lexus engine in it. They change everything. They were fuel injection. These cars, till 91, when they stopped making them, well, they updated it to a new version. They weren't as cool. They were fuel injected. So you go get it. You go, I don't care about the engine of the car. I just like the car. So you get them. But some of them are like, I think they can be upwards of around like $200,000.
Oh, Tom Segura picked me up in this damn 69 Bronco Retro, and it had everything in it vintage, but this is what was awesome. The hand winder, when you
made
go to
an electric window.
Yep, you just push it and the window goes up.
Because
the thing's still there.
Stylistically.
Dashboard is vintage. Airbags are in it. You know what I mean? But you have no idea. Right.
So again, you can go get a beautiful Wagoneer. You don't have to spend that money.
Right, yeah.
But if you want to go, but look at that beautiful car. And those are mags, which I like. But those things.
Look at the price.
Even the paint is thicker.
$175.
This one sold for that much, too.
And is that one where the engine's a new engine?
This is the Wagonmaster website. Yeah.
Yeah, they have some beautiful cars.
Badass.
Yeah, I wanted one of them.
You guys were a vacation family, you said. And who's you guys? How many siblings are we talking here? How many in the family?
I have three brothers. Two are older, one is younger, Michael, Spencer, and Corey.
All boys?
All boys.
Wow.
My mom thought boys were easy.
Yeah?
She loved having four boys.
All boys, and what you're driving in that
We took that wagon, the one with the headlights, and we drove. We did this a few times. We drove. My mom loved California. Always. She loved California. So we drove to California.
From Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's all the way across the country.
Yeah.
It's not like from Chicago or Midwest.
All the way.
And back.
And it would rain. I remember it would rain and we'd pull under bridge embankments till the rain passed because it was so heavy you couldn't even see. Like in Florida, that happens still, I guess. And we took a family trip and we all got in that wagon and we were going to go to Disneyland. And my mom's brother lived in Florida at the time. And we were arguing in the pool in the morning. We had a little time, so we all went swimming. We were arguing. And keep in mind, my parents were very young when they had us. So some of the things they did, you look back and you're like, oh, they were 28. They were 32, you know? And we were arguing. And my parents said in the morning, they weren't even really yelling. They go, your dad can't handle it. And we're going back home.
And where are you at this point in the trip physically? Halfway there?
We're 40 minutes, I think. Like, in hindsight, I didn't know. And we did.
You're 40 minutes from the park?
We go out. And in our head, I'm trying to not tilt the story, but I think people can guess. We went out, we turned, and we went back home.
You did.
And I was like, we were like, my mom never did. They never did anything like this except for 3 years before that, my mom said, if we don't behave, we're not going to get to watch The Wizard of Oz. Because that was like a big thing. And you know what? My mom didn't let us. And she always folded. She didn't. So we go back out. We go home. We start driving home. We were very bummed. I don't know how long. It's been a lot of years. But very quickly, we see Welcome to Disneyland. We're like, shut the fuck up. You,
oh, that's
we're
awesome.
Screaming and we're yelling. And my parents loved it. We didn't know which way was back. We're too young.
Yeah,
so we see Welcome to Disneyland or whatever, Disney World or Disneyland. And we went, oh, my God.
Oh, that's awesome. See, man, it's funny. I do remember. My dad only did it once. I remember him sticking to his guns on something. I've said it on this before, but it was we were supposed to go to the Baltimore Civic Center, my brother and I, to see Andre the Giant wrestle Killer Khan in a cage match. And we were big wrestling fans, and we were stoked that it was in the city that night. And my dad's already told us he's going to take us. And to this day, I don't remember what we did. But he was fucking pissed. And he said, sit down inside now. You sit on that chair. You sit on that chair. And we're not going tonight. And that he always caved. He always caved. But he's out in the garden working all day. Day turns into afternoon. And we're like, oh, shit. So we'd be like peeking out the screen door like, Dad. He's like, we're not going. We're like, fuck. And we didn't go.
Oh,
we didn't go. And I thought, man. It was the only one he stuck at. He must have felt bad after that because he never did it again. He never did it. He would threaten it and then never did it again.
Do you know what? Not to go too much off story here. My friend that is a therapist and he just has good, clean advice. He goes, the reason people think that alternative ways of, you know, not spanking or hitting children works is because you have to make your word powerful. And a lot of times when you're telling a kid he can't have something, a lot of times it makes your life harder. You're not going on that trip with your friends. You're not doing this. That means they're more in with you. Sometimes those things give you some freedom. So when you're taking away something, you fold for self. Sometimes for yourself, you fold in. You don't want to, you know what it's like to be a kid. They want to do it. But he goes, if you establish, when he sees it, this is really quick, but I think it's powerful. He goes, when you see a kid acting up, in a public area and people go, you know what that kid needs? No, he goes, most of the time, not always, I'm going to say, this is my friend Kevin, that kid is spanked big time at home. And he knows that's when the parents have had enough. So if you can't hit them the way you hit them at home, I don't recommend hitting at all, by the way. But if he goes, if you can't hit them or spank them, whatever you want to call it, like you do at home, they don't think you're at your limit. But if you make your word powerful, if you say to your kid, you're not going camping with your friends.
And then you don't
and you
let them.
Don't let them. With all that, they're crying and they're begging, and then you don't get to do something you wanted to do that weekend because they were going to go camping, and you stick your word becomes like fucking terrible. And then next time you're at the mall or out in public, and your kid does something, and you go, your words, your weapon. You go, you know, we're going to take the TV out of your room for a half a year. They listen.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
But you have to establish your word as powerful. That takes time, he said, but it does work. But anyway.
Did you ever get the belt or anything like that?
You know what? No, we didn't. Most my dad did was...
Ever be grounding? Ever get grounded?
You know...
Like not, what was a punishment in the Glass household?
Well, we had to clean a lot of dog shit up. my dad would throw tools sometimes, not at us, but like, cause he every time he opened his toolbox, we're all like, oh God. Cause we would borrow his stuff out of there.
Never put it back.
So he would just be like, he would throw a wrench at the wall or something, not at us, but not that much, just mostly like maybe yelling, but no, not that much. Never the belt. If anything, it was maybe a pulling your arm a little, you know, like you know, but nothing. I don't think I could. I couldn't have the patience.
And were you guys like, you had four boys? Are you guys the house in the neighborhood where everyone's coming to hang, or is it quite the opposite?
We were to a certain point. Everybody wanted to be at our house.
Because imagine your age ranges are what, a few years apart.
You're very close. Very almost like under 2 years.
So you got like you high school's covered with you glass boys.
Yeah, by high school,
like at least one senior. There's probably a junior.
Yeah.
Did you all have one grade covered?
We had like 2 years in between us at the most.
But I mean, was there a senior, a junior, a sophomore, and a freshman all at the same time in high school?
No. Me and my matter of fact, because, well, you know, the thing is, I was in special schools a lot. I'd be in a regular school, but in a special class. And then that didn't work. So they took me out of the.
And why is that?
Because I had really bad dyslexia. And it's hard now because, you know, they know so much about it. But back then they didn't. So it was like, I think, hey, this kid's not stupid, but he's not doing well in school. So
you would get lumped in with like special ed kids.
Kids that were mentally challenged. They didn't know what to do with us.
You had to
kids
go
that had
class.
Temper problems. Yeah, you know what? I learned a lot about mentally challenged people. How loving and you know, at first when they want to hug you, it's scary. But then when you're around them a lot, you learn that they're just non-judgmental, yeah, really loving, beautiful people. So I probably happened from being around.
But you're also in there with the angry kids, the ones that want to fight and stuff.
Right,
and
yeah.
With discipline problems.
With anger problems. Yeah. I got along with pretty much everybody. I remember one time, I'm not kidding you, Mrs. Worth, she goes, it's not that good of a story.
Come on.
Well, I was going to a different special school now. It was within the regular school, but you would go to a resource room two classes a day. You would just go in there, and you had to go in there for homeroom too, because sometimes you had therapy. And when I first, I wasn't in there, but some administrator walked me in to introduce me to the class. They go, "This is Todd. He's one of our new students, and then he's going to join us tomorrow. But we just wanted to say hi," something like that. And she goes, "Come on, you guys are acting like a bunch of animals." Like the teacher, Mrs. Worth, she was really cool. And then everybody, like just nine of them, they're go moo, ruff, ruff. They all started doing it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fit in with these guys just fine. And I meant it. I was like, oh, okay, I like them. I did like it there. I did like that class. If you got a good grade, she would let you have like candy, like out of a jar. And I would always steal it. Because I wasn't getting good grades. I go, if I want some of that candy, I'm going to have to fucking steal it. That was in second grade, and I was actually another special classroom in second grade where she had the jar of candy, and I would always steal it because I go, well, you're not going to get any candy here, so you better steal it.
What about, we were talking before we recorded about going to camps or things like that, and you had mentioned this one I have never heard. What was this camp you went to?
I went to SGF, which was a camp for underprivileged Jewish kids, which we weren't underprivileged Jewish kids, but we were temporarily.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
What you said.
Yeah,
my dad had open heart.
Sometimes we're in life. I dare paint a generic brush on anyone in life because at times I've been circumstantial white trash. It just happened. I'm a kid with no parents. I am circumstantial white trash. I didn't set out to be that. It just happened. Sometimes you're temporarily. You know,
something happens. Maybe somebody loses a job. But my dad had open heart surgery when I was in second grade. It was like a big deal then. So they needed probably in the summer a little bit of time without the kids would have been nice.
Yeah,
and they didn't have the money.
I'm imagining he's probably coming home to recover, rest.
Right.
Let's get these kids out of the house.
We had to do it a little bit under the radar. So I remember my brothers going to interview. We had to go like downtown.
Did they interview for this?
Yeah, you had to went in and they interviewed you because, you know, they wanted to just meet you and find out. And my brother, go, what do you normally do during the summer? And my one brother goes, we go to the swim club. And they're like, oh. I remember my other brother later. But I remember them talking about that because I didn't go to that one when they went home. Well, what happened was then they found out the situation. And they let us all go.
I see.
They let us all go. And that was SGF. And it was, oh my God. I remember like, I was even clean back then.
And how old are you then?
I'm in third grade,
okay.
Maybe. Third grade. I'm already very clean. Like I'm very organized. I like things clean. My bed was always made. I would clean the bunk. And I would be embarrassed, so I'd hide it because I didn't want anyone to see me. So everybody else outside, I'd go in and like clean the bunk and like. And I didn't want to use the bathroom around other people at all.
It pee or poop?
Pee, I'd probably do.
Yeah.
Poop, I did not want to poop. No. So I would go down. There was like an old house on this land. It was like the
only. And this is an overnight camp. You're staying at this camp,
three
right?
weeks,
not a day. Oh man, that's a long time.
3 weeks. Okay. I have good memories from it. I also didn't love it. I didn't like being away from home. I'd rather be home. But I would go and just go. Oh, I'd go to this where the nurse's office was. Oh, my fucking God. Wow.
Glass of the past.
Somebody gave that property to let them have this camp.
Well
so they built
person.
These bunks. They built these bunks. And then there was the main house, and there was a bathroom where the nurse's station was in an old house from probably the 1800s.
So
and I found
you,
the bathroom there,
are,
and I
are
would
these
poop.
Down here where the little...
I got, can you get it? Is there any other pictures? That looks like we're... I love that you found that.
Are these the bunks down here?
Those, there's, is that a pool?
It looks like a
that
pool
looks
or
like
a basketball
pool.
Court or something, and then a
we'd
barn
all go
skinny back there.
Dipping on the last day. I wasn't crazy about that at all. Ugh, I don't even think I did it. I think it was still there till 5 years ago. And my brother went back and he found this thing that he made like 35 years later.
Wow, really?
It was a paddle that was like, you know, some type of, I don't, yeah, some type of thing. And I went there for 3 weeks. I never went back, but my brothers did. But it was, you know, it was all right. I remember one thing they would do. We were all in the mess hall eating and we were all too loud. And they go, everybody out. Everybody out. Outside.
How many kids are we talking to here? A couple hundred?
Couple hundred.
Yeah, okay.
Couple
so
hundred.
Big.
They
big.
Made us get out. All the counselors were outside. You're not going to finish your meal. You don't know how to act. And just get outside. You know, because remember, even for us, we weren't, in the sense, underprivileged. But, you know, my dad had open heart surgery. It was like, it was cool for us to be able to do it. But a lot of these kids, they just wanted to make it the best experience they could have. So they go outside and we go outside. We don't know this. A helicopter comes over throwing candy down.
What?
Yeah, throwing candy down. That was like the trick. So they played a trick on us. And then candy.
That's welcome
like,
to Disneyland
eat,
all over again,
yeah, eat
bro.
Candy. You don't have to eat. Like everything was just have fun. And that was SGF. But yeah, look at that. Yeah, my bunk. I just didn't like, being away from home. I didn't like using the bathrooms. I didn't like showering. I was very personal. I didn't want to. I think I hear a lot of comedians talk about that. I think it's because we're honest about our feelings.
Well, also like we talk about this in middle school, they forced us to shower. And at that time, it's such a weird time. Some kids had hair on their balls. Some kids didn't. And you made us run into a shower and just get wet for what?
And you know what?
For what?
It's not necessary.
It's not.
And I know
there's
people.
We got to get used to showering in the gyms of the world. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. And I know there are a lot of people, they go right to, oh, it's good for you. Show. No, you can make your kids do things and have, willpower to get things, you know, to do things they don't want to do. But no, it is not a part that you need. I hated it. Ugh. And then when I was in a special ed class, this was in seventh grade, this was sixth or seventh grade. The teacher was a woman, and she'd stand there as we're coming out of the shower, handing us a towel.
No.
Yes.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
A lady did not.
A lady
do
did.
That.
I'm positive. Mrs. Worth was the teacher. Mrs. Myers.
A lady gym teacher?
No, she wasn't a lady gym teacher because we were special ed. We were a special class. That when we were in that.
And you would have to get in there and shower and come out naked and a lady would hand you a towel?
Yeah.
I thought it was fucked up that two men were handing us towels as gym teachers.
Yeah, I hated it.
Seeing kids naked. I would be like, I'm not doing that.
And one kid did have more development than everybody.
I'll bet. There's always somebody. Look, if you got 10 kids, someone's going to be the biggest.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God. I'm in the, you know, I'm not, I don't even know I'm gay yet, but I figured it out. I'm like, oh my God, look at this kid over here. Jesus Christ.
He's the kid that wants to shower. Like, we getting in showers?
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Okay,
anyway.
So I want to ask you this real quick. You're home. You got four boys, mom and dad. Are you sharing a room with brothers growing up? Are you in bunks? Like, what is your living quarters at home?
Okay. I'll tell you, like, from Pear Tree Lane, that, like, now we moved a lot. So in Pear Tree Lane, we live in Lafayette Hills. I share a brother with my brother Corey.
Do you remember the address at Pear Tree
Lane? 7 Pear Tree Lane. 1295 Joan Drive was before that. 1495 Kilburn Road. 825-5143. I got a lot of those. A lot of those.
Find them all here for you.
Oh my, shut the fuck up. Doesn't look bad.
How old are you in this? Whoa. How old are you in this house here?
In that house, wow, that tree, I remember that maple tree that we planted. Anyway, yeah, so I'm in, you know, you forget as you get older. I think we moved into that house. I was in fifth grade.
Okay.
Fifth grade.
That's a nice neighborhood.
That was a nice neighborhood. Yeah, that was before that we lived in more of a cookie cutter neighborhood where every home had white siding and black shutters. Mm-hmm. That was Sunshine. Oh, I know we're going long here, but this is so much fun. I forget our address, 1495 Sunshine Way, Southampton, Pennsylvania. So we lived in this neighborhood, boom, 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 when I was in second grade. That's where my dad had open heart surgery. Then right after this, we move to the brick house. And then after that, this is the house I'm talking about. That was 7 Pear Tree Lane. There it is. There's the house we lived in. Now, it didn't have the carport then. I wish it did. but there's our house. Now, they did a little work since we moved out. But across, that's the home we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street, the builder that built the neighborhood built his dream house right across the street. He took like four lots. And he built that house.
Oh, wow. Oh, and so he took the lots. He took like four lots.
He had a circle driveway. I'm in fifth grade. Look, our house was nice. I look across the street. Here's me. I'm like, what? Because I remember when we were in the builder, the guy who lived in that home, you would meet with him in his office. And he'd go, because they were semi-custom homes. Do you want to turn the garage? Because then it elongates the house. I'm in fifth grade going, please turn the garage. Oh my God, it looks so much better than when you pull straight into the garage.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, so this house I was obsessed with. I go, I'm going to make friends with these now. So I made friends.
What are their names? The what?
Albert. Don't mention her name, but I don't know why. So now I'm afraid. But I made friends with them. Matter of fact, Albert, who lived in that house, found out about a comedy club when I was in like a few years after that. And we went to the Comedy Works because Albert goes, yeah, there's a comedy club. I thought it would be college kids telling jokes. But I would go over there because I found it real calm over there. Their house was very calm. Our house was a little chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
And when they plowed the driveway, it was so neat and perfect. Like, it would be so, like, it wouldn't be messy. Look at these pigs that are living there now. I hope they all die, what you did to that house. Anyway, that was Lafayette Hills. And that's when I went to Wordsworth Academy. Then I was in a full-fledged special school. But anyway,
what's that, Wordsworth?
Wordsworth Academy was for kids, to be honest, back then, that they didn't know where to put us. Like when I said, you know, there were kids in my school that were mentally challenged, at different levels of mentally challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't know what to do. But I didn't like it there that much. That's when I was on Ritalin and I lost my appetite. But anyway, nevertheless. That was wow to see those homes. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what this show's all about. Thank you, Todd Glass.
Thank you.
I love those moments where you're like, no way. My daughter just said to me the other day, because she knows what I'm doing, I'm buying all these. I mean, basically, since she used to buy more 80s toys and stuff just to set decorate, but she and her friends at school, everything's starting to come back. And she's like, Dad, in the 80s, did you have a trapper keeper? And I said, I sure did have a trapper keeper. We call my friend who has a daughter that's her age and their friends. And I'm like, Jimmy, Stella's got something to ask. And she's like, did you have a trapper keeper? And you hear a pause and he's like, yes, I did have it. You know what I mean? You forget.
You forget some of the things, man.
Yeah, so thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Promote again one more time.
Go to Seed and Spark.
Yes.
Seed and Spark. But for my crowdsource that I have for the show. And go to YouTube, Todd Glass, The Event of a Lifetime. Boom. You'll see the video even if you don't want to donate. And that'll take you. That'll tell you everything you need to know. Todd Glass, The Event of a Lifetime on YouTube. Even if you just go leave a nice... Why am I staring over there? Where am I looking at? What am I, a cat looking at a fly? Go to Todd Glass, The Event of a Lifetime. And then it'll just let you know the show. It's very well done. My friend Steve... Rosenthal put it together and he did a well job of capturing exactly what the experience is. Thank you, there we go. Thank you.
You got it. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Come see me on tour. Tickets are on my website at ryansickler.com. We will talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.